I appreciate the Sunday school hour.
Amen.
And I'm glad that God puts things together.
Amen, sir.
I'm grateful that God has been speaking to our heart.
Yes.
Sometimes we get confused about who's doing the speaking.
That's right.
It's and somebody said, that preacher preached right to me. Look right at me. I said, what you want me to do? Look at the floor? No, it was for you. But we do not sing about anything. But I was thinking of Samuel when he heard a voice. And he goes to Eli, thinks it's Eli talking to him. Sometimes folk think that it's others talking when it is God talking. And so, you know, the account, as God speaks and God speaks, and so he goes back. And so Eli said, now, next time you hear the voice, said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.
Amen.
And by the way, that's what we're to be praying. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. We want God to speak to our heart.
Right.
And we're reminded of this, for there's just one God and one mediator between God and men, and his name is Jesus.
Amen.
You understand that Allah's not God.
Right.
Mohammed's not God.
Amen.
But Jesus is God.
Amen.
And he's the same. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. He never, ever changes. And so now, just give me a little time to taxi, just a minute. I want to look at two or three verses that I'd like to preach on all of them, but I can't do that. But I want you to be reminded of this. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, fourth chapter of the book of Philippians, and all of you could quote the verse, but I just want to remind us again of it. When we're thinking about this matter of our mission obligation, the Bible said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So I wrote out on the side column of my Bible on that verse, I put, he is my source. He is my source. And so God is our refuge, and he is our strength, and he's a very present help in the time of trouble. If you need salvation, he is our salvation. If you need strength, he is our strength. Notice with me the book of Psalms, back to Psalms, and let's look at Psalm 62. And the Bible said in verse number 5, he said, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He is not only my source, he is my expectation.
Amen.
By the way, I know this. I can't save anybody, but I'm expecting God to save somebody. I can't meet other needs, but I know that our God can meet everybody's need.
Amen.
And so if your need is salvation, he's the way, the truth, and the life. But he's a gentleman. God does not force himself on anyone.
Right.
He said, whosoever will may come. You have an invitation from the Lord.
Right.
Whosoever will may come. And so I'm reminded of 2 Corinthians 5:21. He said, for he hath made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
And then the verse that everybody knows, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now you understand this. God has provided a way. He wants sinners saved.
Right.
And they can't be saved unless they hear.
Right.
They must hear the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now, if you'll turn to the verse that I mentioned, the first night I preached, and I want us to look at this verse once more, and I'm going to just be dealing with the matter of just the basics of faith promise giving.
Amen.
And that's what the conference is about. And I appreciate what you've done in the past.
Amen.
and what you're trusting God to do in this meeting today. And so in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he said in verse 15, he said, not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other men's labors, but having hope that when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. And so again, said verse number 17, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And so I'm preaching this morning on a matter of faith, promise, given. And so if you'll bow with us in prayer. Father, bless, I pray, your word to our heart. We thank you for the good teaching and preaching in the Sunday school hour that remind us of the fact of the voice of God and how important it is for us to hear what God says to us. I pray that you'd make it clear, that you might remove any obstacle that might stand in the way, any hindrance. I pray that we'd hear with our heart and respond with our life. And I pray that you'd meet needs today and around the world where the gospel is being preached. I pray that you might give the increase, that sinners might be converted unto thee, churches might be established. And I pray that you'd help your people. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Missions is vitally important. David Brainerd said this, one of the most celebrated of the missionaries, laboring among the benighted Indians on the bank of the Delaware. And he once said, I care not where I live or what hardship I go through, so that I can but gain souls to Christ. While I'm asleep, I dream of these things. And as soon as I wake, the first thing I think of is this great work. All my desire is the conversion of sinners, and all my hope is in God. And by the way, could I say, that's where our hope better be. It's not in Washington, amen. Are you listening? I don't believe Washington knows who's on first. And if the news media knew who was on first, they couldn't report it correctly. But listen, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. Now, missions is vitally important because of the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all day. Missions is important not only because of the cross, but because of the command of Christ. And missions is important not only because of the cross and the command, but because of the coming of Jesus Christ. One day, and it could be today, that Jesus Christ will come. And He'll receive His bride. He'll catch us away to be with Him. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And those who have heard the gospel, are you listening? Those who have heard the gospel and rejected the gospel will hear for the last time. There's coming a time, and by the way, for the believer, there's going to come a day in the future when we will rejoice in the fact that we've sinned our very last time. No more sin in heaven, amen. We'll be translated to be with the Lord Jesus. And so giving is vitally important. The word give or giving is used in the scripture 2,285 times. I'd say that's pretty important. And so giving must be learned, because we are born covetousness. We're born covetous, and we're born selfish, and we're born greedy. And I'm reminded that it is easier to spend than it is to give. But when we spend, we get something in return. But when we give, we must wait to the judgment seat of Christ for the reward. And the mind grows by what it takes in, and the heart grows by what it gives out. And so I'm saying this, we ought to be praying that God would make us emerging givers and look every day for an opportunity to give and never stifle a urge to give. The devil does not tell us to give. But now faith does this. Faith brings the need and the supply together. He's our source. He's our expectation. He brings the need and the supply together. And so faith releases what we have to God. Faith releases what we have to God. Faith brings to you that which you cannot produce. And so we're preaching about faith promise giving. It's a matter, and by the way, if you're going to try to sit down with a pen and a piece of paper and figure out how much you can give, that's not faith giving. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and without faith it's impossible to please our God. Faith picks up at the end of your ability and brings God into the situation. So you can only keep what you give away, and what you keep you lose. And so when I got saved, God opened up an account in heaven in my name. But I'm the only one that can make the deposit. And so when I put my tithe and my mission money in, I'm making deposits. Everything God controls gives. Everything God controls gives. And so I'm reminded of this. Spiritual success is not measured by how much we get, but how much we give. And so faith challenges the Almighty. He said, faith makes the ordinary exceptional. And again, faith is a principle that God gave to the church to carry out the Great Commission. And so only God knows how much he wants to give through you in 2022. But listen, God's not confused about it. And so God will give more through you than he will give to you. And so someone said, I do not fear failure. I fear of being a success in that which will mean nothing to God or eternity.
Yes, sir.
And so I'm interested in the matter of the principle of faith promise giving. It's recorded for us. And by the way, this is not something new. You've heard it again and again. It's a principle outlined in the word. Faith promise offering is a free will offering. It's a free will offering, and it's collected on a weekly basis, and that's not spelled W-E-A-K-L-Y. It's collected on a weekly basis, and the church provides monies for missions worldwide to get God. God loved the world, and he wants the world to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Missions involves a matter of training. It revolves a matter of equipping and sending, supporting of the personnel who devote their time to presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ, planting churches, and teaching them to do the same thing.
Amen.
Amen. And by the way, I think that's an area that we have not emphasized enough, because he said, teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so that pastor or that missionary that goes to the field and he wins souls to Christ and a church is established, he's to teach them all things whatsoever Christ has commanded. And so it's important that we teach what God has taught us. And again, the faith promise method of giving is described in 2 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10. And so we find answers. The first question is, what do we mean by faith promise giving? Well, it's a promise to God.
Right.
It's a commitment we make to the Lord. And it's not a pledge. And I emphasize that again. And invariably, I have preachers who say, now, when you turn your pledge in, you know, it's not a pledge. It's not a pledge. It's a promise to God. Pledge is something that you sign guarantee the liability of collection in the case of non-performance. But no one's going to come demanding you pay your bill. I'm saying it's entirely between you and God. And so now I give to faith promise, and my wife gives to faith promise, and my daughter gives to faith promise. And I'm saying to you, God speaks to our heart personally about what he wants us to give. And so we give by faith. And again, it's the act of faith. It's you're promising to give beyond your present ability. It's a matter of note that, that what was said of the Christians in Macedonia. He said this in 2 Corinthians 8:3, the word power. They gave beyond their power, beyond their ability. And that's faith promise giving. It's a matter of trusting God. God's wealth and God's ability becomes ours by faith. And so what I say, faith promise giving is a matter of my exercising my faith in God's ability to provide funds to get the gospel to every creature. That's a matter of faith promise. And so Paul said, now when your faith is increased, by the way, we've heard enough preaching these days that our faith ought to be stronger today than it was when we started Wednesday night. And by the way, if it's not, then we haven't been heeding the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It's simply trusting God and believing God to supply the amount that He impresses your heart about. By the way, could I say this? I've been in mission conferences where, God, I thought I knew what God wanted me to give. And during the conference, God changed that. Sometimes He changed it two or three times. And so I'm saying, Lord, are you sure? And He's, would you mind saying that again? He said, don't mind saying it again at all. And so God tells us, He impresses our heart, and we're convinced in our heart, this is what God wants to give through me. Amen. To help missionaries get the gospel around the world. And by the way, the field is ripe today. So the definition of faith promises money that God gives to you, or God gives through you, that He would not give if He did not know that He could trust you to give it to missions. And so it is a promise to the Lord. It is a free will offering. And so the Macedonians, the Bible said they were willing of themselves. They first gave themselves to the Lord. And by the way, if you give yourself to the Lord, it will include your finances.
Right.
Yet they first gave themselves. And they had a willing heart. They're willing of themselves. But the Bible speaks to them having a willing mind. A willing mind. And so what Paul said to of the Macedonian Christians, he said they were willing of themselves. They first had a willing mind. And so during this meeting, listen, we are committing ourselves to give to missions. It is a commitment for 52 weeks.
Right.
It's a matter of giving. So my giving should be, it should be personal. It should be planned giving. It should be persistent giving, and it should be positive giving and proving giving. And so how are we doing in the faith department? And so why should I give? Why should I give my offer? You said, well, what I give is not very much. And by the way, I'm saying to you, it's a matter of obedience, doing what God says do. If everybody gives what God tells him to do, it'll be sufficient to meet the needs of your present missionaries and perhaps to take on some more. And so five different times in the scripture, we are reminded that Christ wants the gospel to be presented to every creature. We're reminded of the fact that, and he said, now then we're ambassadors for Christ, and I beseech you, and Christ said, be you reconciled to God. And so the only way I can be obedient to the great commission, the command, is by witnessing at home, witnessing at home, and by sending others to witness where I cannot go.
Right.
And so if, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Amen.
And he said, then why then do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I send you? And so how can we say we love the Lord and let the person for whom Christ died, die without knowing
Amen.
Christ? And so he gave the faith promise because of the example of Christ. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse number 9, he said this. He said in chapter 8, verse 9, he said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich.
Amen.
And so I'm grateful that God loved me. He loved me enough to give his son. And his son loved me enough to give his life. He shed his blood. It wasn't spilled. It was shed at Calvary. It was literal blood. It was exceptional blood. It was essential blood. It is effective blood. When sinners plunge beneath that flow, it loses all their guilty stain. Praise God and the Lamb forever. I'm glad for the blood of Christ, God's Son, that cleanses from all sin.
Amen.
And so I'm saying the world doesn't know about that. The lost in this neighborhood doesn't know about it.
Right.
They're blinded to it. Satan has blinded their minds.
Right.
And so there's folk just outside the doors that are lost without God, and they need a Savior.
Right.
And may God help us to be consistent. So the greatest example of giving in the Bible is 2 Corinthians 8, verse number 9. As Americans, we're blessed of God bountifully. And we enjoy 51% of the world's wealth and yet comprise only 5.5% of the world's population. We are blessed of God. We need to be reminded of our abundant supply
Yes,
that
sir.
God has provided. Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And so when you honestly think of the condition of perishing men and women, boys and girls, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. When I was in the Philippines, I visited a place where the homeless lived. They called it Cardboard City. Folks living in cardboard boxes had nothing. And I'm reminded of how God has blessed us.
Amen.
We do not deserve the blessings. But when you think of the condition of men without Christ, and by the way, when they die without Christ in the Philippines, or if they die with Christ in without Christ in Madisonville, Kentucky, they both go to a devil's hell.
Right.
It's a place, and by the way, no pit stop somewhere in between, no
right.
purgatory.
Right.
To be absent from the body for a person that doesn't know Christ is to be present in hell.
Right.
And it's a real place, a literal place, prepared for the devil and his angels. And so I'm glad to be on the giving end. I'm glad that God's allowed me to have part in giving and not on the receiving end. Some people don't have a Bible. I have plenty of Bibles. I have several Bibles. But some folks don't even have a chapter. They don't have a John and Romans. So, and by the way, we think about all the people around the world and the multitudes that have never heard of Jesus at all. May God burden our heart. And so Faith Promise will build your church. I hear folks, when I first started preaching Faith Promise conferences, that folks said, well, if we give to Faith Promise, it'll dry up the finances and the home front. Well, I want to say to you, if you obey God, God honors faith.
Right.
And faith honors God. And you can't outgive God.
Amen.
And so it's a matter, and most of the time, I found this, that when folks get involved by faith and giving to missions, the general finances increase also.
Yep.
And you're able to reach more when you're obedient, doing what God said
right.
to. And so there's people who said, they'll say things like, well, God hasn't said anything to me about it. God has said something to you about it. If you've got a Bible, if you know Christ, God said something to you about it. When he saved you, he didn't save you just to be isolated, but we're part of the family of God.
Right.
We're members together. And so what you do affects me.
Right.
And what I do affects you. We're members of the same family. He is my heavenly Father, but he's yours also if you're
right.
saved. And so we're talking about the matter, what's it going to do? It will build your faith, the faith in your church. And you look forward. And so here again, he is our source and our expectation is from him. I'm expecting God to do something. I'm trusting God to do it. By faith, I believe God's going to do something. But it's a matter of he doesn't force that upon us. It's a matter of our exercising our will. When my faith is increased, so it'll put a fire in your church. I said to Pastor when we first got here, there's something different about a mission conference that different than any other conference that I'm in. And there's a spirit of excitement and thrill when you hear the missionaries and the burden of their heart and their desire to get the gospel, hear others preach the word of God. God stirs the embers of our soul and causes us want to do more for Christ.
Amen.
How important that is. It will fire the church. It will build the fellowship of the church, the finances of your church, the future of your church, and the final reward of the church if we do what God said.
Amen.
And so someone said, well, how can I give Faith Promise offering? In 2 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10, the steps that follow, you must follow the leadership of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Follow thou me, and I'll make thee become fishers of men. And first, what do? We submit ourselves to the Lordship of Christ.
Right.
Now, there's people are as confused as a termite in a yo-yo about the Lordship of Christ. I want to say to you, you can't make him Lord.
Right.
He was Lord before you got saved.
Right.
He's Lord after you got saved. We are do this, submit to the Lordship of Christ. And so he has a right to speak to my heart. He has a desire to channel through my life finances that can help others hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has a right of lordship over our lives, and so he purchased us, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. He positioned us. He positioned us in the family, and he has power over us. And he said, all power is given unto me. Go ye therefore into all the world. And so we note the account of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, and he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Lord's the right address. And he said, what will I, listen, hadn't been to Bible school, hadn't been to mission conference, but he's saying, Lord, what will thou have me to do? God has a specific will for your life and will for my life. I want to say today, I believe I'm standing dead center, the will of God for my life. I don't think of myself as anything, but I'm glad that I'm a child of the King, and God allows me to do what I do for being in his will. I have people from time to time say to me, would you be willing to consider pastoring church again? And I said facetiously, well, I'm not brain dead yet. But no, if the Lord were to say to me, I want you to be a pastor, I want to think that I'd be willing to do whatever God wants me to do. Willing to go, willing to stay, willing to be anything that God wants me. That's a matter of submission to the Lord. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. And so, I'm reminded we must surrender our will to him. He said this, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And so he's my source and he's my expectation. But when I surrender my all to him, my affections be right. I'll be laying up treasures in heaven. If my hunger and my thirst is right, and then my allegiance will be right. And my ambition will be right. And so it is this. We must surrender our will to God's will.
Right.
Our will to God's will. And so self-will and self-centeredness is characteristics of our carnal nature.
Yes,
and the sin that will keep you from giving to faith promise is selfishness, self-will, self-centeredness. And so victory over the flesh will result in unselfish giving to the Lord. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I remember I was pastoring in Thomasville, Georgia, Eastside Baptist Church. And on a Sunday evening, there was a man sitting on the third row over there. And we're in the song service. And the Lord said, not in an audible voice. But the Lord said, I want you to give that $20 bill that you got in your pocket. I want you to give that to him. Well, I had obligations for that Monday the next day. But I said to the song leader, stand him up and let's sing one more song. So I left the platform, went down and shook hands with that brother and left that money in his hand. And the next day when my obligation came due, somebody else took care of that obligation.
Amen.
You know who that someone else was? He's my source. And he used somebody else.
Amen.
That same week I went back to Lakeland to my home area, and my older sister said, she slipped her hand down my pocket. Now I'm a little bit cautious about one who puts her hand in my pocket. But later I found out she put money in my pocket. That same week I was standing in the vestibule of the church. And a businessman said, I noticed the tires on your car is getting pretty slick. Well, it was so slick, I was fearful to drive over a sand spur. But he pulled out what I seldom ever would see. He pulled out two $50 bills and gave me, said, I want to help you out. I don't believe for a minute. Are you listening? I don't believe for a minute that I would have been recipient of any of those blessings had I not been obedient
right,
to give the $20.
Right. Yes,
and could I tell you, best be reminded, God's shovel is a whole lot bigger than yours.
Amen.
You can never outgive God.
Amen.
Had one man in my church in Tallahassee, we had the faith promise, and he's a roofer. And so he put down his commitment to the Lord, and on the following Wednesday, he stood and testified on Wednesday night. He said, the devil's been browbeating me about what I committed to the Lord last Sunday. He said it just every day. And he said, I finally said, devil, if you don't quit bothering me about what I've committed to Christ, I'm going to double it next Sunday. And so, listen, I'm grateful that God is able to supply our need.
Amen.
It's not what you figure out, and it's by faith. If it's not by faith, listen, you're on your own.
Right.
And so I come back to realize this. He said, You settle them out in your heart about what God wants you to give. The Bible said, as a man purposes in his heart.
Right.
As he purposes in his heart. And it comes from the word meaning to bring forth. And the word for the heart comes from the word cardia, meaning reason or will, emotion. And so as we purpose in our heart to please him, to do what God wants us to do. Now, my wife makes these greeting cards. And for several years before the pandemic set in, she was able to give over $3,500 to missions to get Bibles to the mission field. That's what God spoke to her heart about. And God had spoken to my heart about increasing what I was giving. But I'm very conscious of the fact that somebody, when we get to heaven, there'll be somebody that'll come by and say thanks for giving. Because you gave, I'm here today. And realize this, it's a matter of souls, every soul needs Christ. But only those who receive him have him. And so it's a matter of Christ wants everybody to hear the word of God. And so as a man purposes in his heart, so let him give. And so I do not believe everybody could give the same thing. But I do believe everybody can give.
Yeah.
You said, I'm on Social Security. I live from hand to mouth. I know the same thing. I live from God's hand to my mouth.
Right.
And it's a matter of recognizing this, that God supplies our every need.
Amen.
I told you about getting a set of Michelin tires for the car, and I went up to Pennsylvania and I came back. I was coming through Bristol. And something, I hit on the highway, slit that new Michelin tire right through the wall, and I was left on the side of the road. And so I had one of those make-believe tires in the trunk.
Right.
And about the time I got the trunk open, there was a man in a pickup truck that pulled right in front of me. And he said, "It looks like you need some help." And I said, "Well, I sure would appreciate it." And he said, "Well, you just stand over there." And he got my little imitation tire and changed it, put that on. And he said, "Sir," said, there's the only place anywhere close by is just one exit down." And said, "You're going to get a tire down there." And I tried to pay him and I tried to thank him. And he said, no, I'll not take anything. I believe God sent maybe an angel by,
right,
to take care of that need.
Amen.
And so I had to buy another tire, took it back to the dealer, and told them what happened, and they replaced that Michelin tire.
Amen.
I didn't have road hazard on the tires, but that was God. And so I watch God again and again as he drops handfuls of purpose.
Amen.
And doing it again and again and again.
Yes, sir.
So how blessed it is to be a part in God's plan. And so how am I going to determine what God wants to, and prayer is the answer. James said, "You have not because you ask not. And you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust." And so if I'm asking God, I'm expecting to hear. And so I'm listening to his voice. I'm saying, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" And God said, "This is what I want you to do." You said, "Well, listen, he hadn't told me." I'm saying that's between you and God, not between you and the pastor, not between you and anybody else. It's simply between you and God.
Amen.
Ask God, but I ask God with a submissive will.
Right.
I ask God with a, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" I'm saying, "Lord, I'll do what you want me to do." And if you're truly willing to do his will, I believe God will impress your mind and God will show you the amount he wants you to give. And then again, the amount he indicates may be beyond your personal ability, but remember the verse in Matthew 9:23. He said, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And so it's a matter of our giving is unto the Lord. So for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
So how are we going to vote? This matter of our commitments is like a vote. If you refuse to give anything to missions this year, you're practically casting a ballot in favor of recalling every gospel preaching missionary, both at home and abroad. If you give less than you did gave last year, you'll be in favor of the reduction of the missionary forces in preparation in proportion to your reduced contribution. If you give the same thing, if you give the same thing as you formerly gave, you're in favor of holding the guard upon already won, or the ground already won, but you are disregarding any further movement forward, and your song is hold the fort.
Yeah.
Hold the fort. You could in your giving be advancing your giving beyond what you gave before. Right. Then you favor the advancement of the movement in conquest of new territory for Christ. And I believe I'll join that class.
Amen.
I believe I'll be there. And it was Roy Lauren, tells of a Christian businessman who was traveling to Korea. And one day he saw in the field by the side of the road a young man pulling a crude plow while an old man was holding the handles. And the businessman was so amused, he took a snapshot of the scene. And he said to his interpreter, "That's a curious picture. And I suppose these people are very poor," he said to the missionary who was interpreting. And he said, "Yes," with a very quiet reply, "they're very poor." Those two men happened to be Christians. And he said when their church was being built, they were eager to give something toward it, but they had no money. So they decided to sell their one and only ox and give the proceeds to the church. And so he said, this spring, they are pulling the plow themselves. And so the businessman was very silent. And then he said, that must have been a real sacrifice. And they did not call it that, the missionary said, but rather they was fortunate that they had an ox to sell. And so needless to say, the businessman was very silent. But he goes back, when he comes back home, he shows a picture to his pastor and told him all about the story. Then he added, "I want to double my giving to the church and do some plow work. Up until now, I've never given God anything. I've never given God anything that involved real sacrifice." And so may God help us to be doers of the word. I know I'm preaching to the choir, and I know that you've been committed for years. And listen, there's no way of knowing the number of people that has been touched, been reached, been saved, lives transformed, because the members of Island Ford Baptist Church have listened to the voice of God.
Amen.
And committed by faith to the Lord amount of money that would help get that gospel. So faith promise is our exercising our faith in God's ability.
Amen.
Not yours, not mine. Yes. In God's ability to provide funds to get the gospel to the whole world.
Amen.
God wants the whole word to be given to the whole world. And God will use you to be a part of it. I'm glad to be a part of it. Thank you.